Today on Pearls of Great Price, author Veronica Hughes reads passages from the lives and teachings of the saints. She shares her thoughts on each passage's wisdom.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, thou shalt open my lips, and my mouth shall declare thy praise. Welcome. This is Veronica Hughes, your host for Pearls of Great Price. I hope all of you had a lovely holiday season. I wish you a belated Happy New Year. Welcome back, return listeners, and to those of you that are new, I am so thrilled that you've tuned in today. So we're approaching that time of year that all of us love and fear, Great Lent. Lord of Mercy, I used to do a lot of seminars when I was, when I had a nonprofit that used to put on a lot of seminars, and I always used to say I'm going through pre-seminar syndrome. Well, I always feel that way when we have the month approaching Great Lent, that it's sort of my pre-Lenten syndrome, and I get to work out a lot of my issues before I even start Lent. So I thought I would read a wonderful homily that my husband and I came across in a newly published book called The Art of Salvation by Elder Ephrem of Arizona. And one of my pastors would always remind us that how we enter and participate the first week of Lent, Pure Week, is very important, for it sets the tone for our Lenten journey. So I thought that this particular homily would be a good resource for all of us in our strivings and what we might want to particularly pay attention to as we begin this fasting period. I will just be reading selected paragraphs from the first homily, and I'm going to do that without interruption, and then I'll have a summary of the important points at the end. And I suggest that you listen and relax into listening into this rather than trying to take notes. I mean, the homily is just packed with wonderful insights and grace. So I suggest that if you want to read it, that you either get a copy of the book or that you go to my website, pearlofgreatpriceorthodox.com, click on the navigation button for my blog, and find Entering the Arena, Great Lent Begins Again, and you'll find the text here and the summary of my important points. Okie doke. So here we go. I see your bridal chamber adorned, O my Savior, and I have no wedding garment that I may enter therein. O giver of light, make radiant the garment of my soul and save me. Chants our church during Holy Week. The Christian soul, the repentant soul, the soul who is conscious of her sinfulness and accountability, turns her eyes toward the bridegroom of the church and woefully exclaims, My Savior and my benefactor, you were crucified for me, the sinful soul. I do not possess a clean, radiant garment cleansed with tears and repentance. I do not have a pure garment. Please, I beg of you, O heavenly bridegroom of my soul, make me radiant and cleanse the garments of my soul. Give me the required means of purification in order for this garment to become radiant, and make me worthy of partaking and dwelling in your heavenly and eternal bridal chamber. Souls who have been cleansed and purified with tears sense this heavenly bridal chamber. They taste it now in the present time. They see it with the eyes of their soul. They desire it, long for it, and yearn for the day and the hour when they will go to dwell in it. The Apostle Paul had a glimpse of it and exclaimed, with full surprise and amazement, Oh, the depth and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments! How inscrutable his ways! Romans 11:33. We are invited to become inhabitants of and to dwell in this heavenly bridal chamber to assemble with the angels and the saints in the heavenly bridal chamber room, in the Jerusalem above, in the beauty of the heavenly kingdom, in the unapproachable light, once we have purified the garment of our soul. Our church helps us tremendously with the purification of our soul's garment, which we are called to achieve. So I'll read that again. Our church helps us tremendously with the purification of our soul's garment, which we are called to achieve. For this reason, during these holy days, during this time of the year that has opened up for us again, through general fasting, by abstaining not only from food, but mainly from evil desires, every Christian who longs for salvation must collect his thoughts and decisively struggle to live more modestly, moderately, and plainly. Time is continually passing. It is decreasing more and more. Every day that passes is another step towards death. We should know that even one tear of repentance is equivalent to a spiritual bath. Just as the body feels refreshed when it bathes, and just as clothes become clean when they are washed, the tears of a repentant soul purify the heart, purify the mind, purify the body, purify life, purify speech, and purify a person's every action. Let us kneel and pray with extreme humility. Let every repentant soul take heed to this. Every repentant soul is given words. It is granted enlightened prayer. We observe this with the harlot in the Gospel reading of Holy Wednesday, Matthew 26, verses 6 through 16. How did this woman of the street know how to pray? She was given the spirit of prayer the very moment she decided to repent and started to proceed toward the light and truth. How beautiful are her words to the Savior. She knelt in front of him and undoubtedly had an inner dialogue with him. She expressed her repentance with all her heart because it had been revealed to her that Christ was her only Savior. Everyone else had deceived her. She realized that only Jesus Christ was the one who would give her light, relief, joy, and the remission of her many offenses. "Accept me," she said, "the sinner, accept the sea of my sins." Every sinful soul who sheds tears and wets the feet of our Christ noetically also receives the same blessing as the harlot. Not only was she herself saved, but she also became a bright example for every straying soul by pointing the way, the path, and the light of return. If we could penetrate the soul of this woman, the very moment she was bewailing, crying, and wetting the immaculate feet of Jesus, one would witness how light she became as the tremendous weight was lifted from her, and how much peace her conscience received. On account of her repentant tears, Christ granted complete remission of all her sins. This is the case for every person who returns to him. Christ bestows bountiful forgiveness as long as a person repents sincerely. Let us follow the bright road of repentance. If we sincerely repent, God will accept our repentance and establish a new relationship with us. On account of God's infinite compassion, let us thank him and let us worship him gratefully with all our soul. If God were not so infinitely compassionate, no one would be saved, no one at all. There is no one, nor has there ever been, nor will there ever be, anyone on earth who is blameless, without fault, and without sin. No one can boast that he has preserved his heart clean and unblemished. Nonetheless, God's compassion is so effective. This medication is so powerful and potent that it wipes out everything. It makes wondrous interventions, performs unbelievable operations, and saves a man's soul from certain death. The bridal chamber has been opened. Christ is patiently waiting for us. We must not delay. We have now entered the arena of fasting and purification, and the bath of repentance is awaiting us. Let us use our time wisely now, that all things are conductive or conducive to repentance. If God grants tears to our eyes, let us thank Him. Let us humble ourselves and let us confess Him and confess to Him our weaknesses. Let us admit that we are incapable and unworthy of repentance, and that only with His compassion do we sincerely repent. If we believe in God and if we acknowledge our sinfulness, we do so only through His grace and compassion. If grace does not overshadow man, he does not change. If we decide to return, if we repent, if we change our lives, this is all due to the indescribable grace of God. If the grace of God has come upon us, this means that grace will accept us. Let us compel ourselves to remain vigilant and watchful, and let us ward off negligence and indolence because they hinder God's love towards man. Oftentimes, the demon comes to make us feel tired and worn out. Don't do prostrations, he whispers to us. Don't get up to pray right now, you're tired. Sleep a little longer because you have to go to work, and many other things. Let us force ourselves because we do not know what may happen in the moments that follow. If he finds us forcing ourselves to struggle, he will rank us with the faithful strugglers. Let us therefore force ourselves to struggle in everything so that we may enter the bridal chamber of Christ, because to them who struggle belongs the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 11:12. Amen. So that completes my, my reading from homily number one from The Art of Salvation by Elder Ephrem of Arizona. It's probably about a third of the size of the homily. And now I'll just go over the key points that I pulled out that Elder Ephrem mentioned so as to help us to set the tone again for our entry into the fast. Through general fasting, by abstaining not only from food, but mainly from evil desires, every Christian who longs for salvation must collect his thoughts and decisively struggle to live more modestly, moderately, and plainly. So in here we have important things. We have the fasting part. We have abstaining from evil desires, which is really important. As he says, probably more important, and that we're decisively struggling with our passions and our inclinations, and our goal is to live more modestly, moderately, and plainly. Okay, number two, time is continually passing. It is decreasing more and more. Every day that passes is another step towards death. So we want to keep that remembrance of death in front of us. Let us kneel and pray with humility. Oh, blessed humility, this is me adding this. Blessed, blessed humility. We must constantly have that in front of us during the fast. Every repentant soul is given words. It is granted enlightened prayer. So let us take heart. Elder Ephrem's telling us that God gives us the prayer in our heart when it comes from sincere repentance, just as he gave it to the harlot. She was given the spirit of prayer the very moment she decided to repent and started to proceed toward the light and truth. She expressed her repentance with all her heart because it had been revealed to her that Christ was her only Savior. So let us too do that. Let us express our repentance with all our heart and find those tears. As Elder Ephrem said, just one tear is a spiritual bath for the soul. And remember that on account of God's infinite compassion, let us thank Him and let us worship Him gratefully with all our soul, even if at times we get really frustrated during the fast. If grace does not overshadow man, he does not change. So we are working now towards attracting the grace of God. And I had a whole podcast on that last year about attracting the grace of God. And it is through humility and it is through our repentance that we attract that grace. Let us compel ourselves to remain vigilant and watchful, and let us ward off negligence and indolence because they hinder God's love towards us. Okay, so that's my summary. And what more can I say? Elder Ephrem has said it all. So may the beginning of your Lenten struggles be blessed and grace-filled. And again, for those of you that would like a copy of the quotes and some of my commentary from this podcast, you can go to my author's website, The Pearl of Great Price, orthodox.com, then click on the navigation button for my blog, and you want to look for this particular podcast called Entering the Arena, Great Lent Begins Again. So here we are again. How magnified are thy works, O Lord, in wisdom hast thou made them all, including you and me, and this great fast, in wisdom hast thou made them all. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.
You've been listening to Pearls of Great Price with Veronica Hughes. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.